We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Now, back to the St. Louis City Soccer Report on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Into our second hour, Nate Gatter, Jen C. Skansner with you on the St. Louis City Soccer Report, and we are joined now by Tom Timmerman, who covers City and soccer and the Cardinals and the Blues and any number of other things for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Tom, thanks so much for joining us.
Nice to be here, Nate, but now I am pretty much exclusively the soccer guy. So I'm, you know, the other things are still kind of on my resume, but I am pretty much the soccer guy now.
Is it nice to have a home again?
It is. It does feel good to, because over the years of covering soccer, it's been, you know, not to malign AC St. Louis or St. Louis FC, but this is a different level and this is a much bigger deal. So it is fun to see.
So I don't know if you were the only media member. I'm guessing you were. If you weren't, you were one of very few to spend time at City training camp down in Florida. What were your impressions from the camp? Maybe not only what you saw from individual players or anything like that, but just the vibe around it and the way that Bradley Carnell and Lutz Pfannenstiel structured the camp.
I was the only one down there. I was down there for several days at the start. Unfortunately, the Charlotte scrimmage was canceled, and so I didn't see that, and then I wasn't there for the Philadelphia or Miami games. But, the first thing I'll say is Florida is a very nice place to have training camp, and I recommend it. It was, 80 degrees down there. It's weird here. They're putting on, like more coats there. They were putting on sunscreen. So that was good. There's going to be competition. There are some places on the lineup that you look and you say they're, very much settled. And there are some in which it can go a lot of ways. So, that started to take shape down there. Both Bradley and Lutz will tell you every position is up for grabs, but obviously, Berkey in goal, Klaus, forward, Leuven in the midfield, those are pretty much set. Kim Parker in the back. But you can see where they're looking and considering guys. The very beginning of camp, it's really hard, especially when you're not playing games, that matter, where you're playing a full 90 minutes or something. It's hard to get much of a feel for who's where. But you can see a lot of guys doing good things, and you can see the team coming together. And that is, in a lot of ways, one of the most important things for this, because you're taking a group of guys and half of them knew each other, but the other half didn't. And so it's a lot of people getting to know other people. And it's not like you're plugging in one or two new guys. They're plugging in like 11 new guys. So it's kind of just bringing everybody together and making it fit.
Yeah, and Tom, I was interested to think you brought up the kind of the thing that training camp we've got the team in Florida, right? So sunny and 80 degrees, and you need some sunscreen. Then we're jumping back to St. Louis. Welcome to back to the cold. It's really cold, and now you're going out to California. What's the rhyme and reason behind that kind of boot camp training?
The Florida is referred to as Camp One. California is Camp Two. California, there are more teams that gather there for kind of spring training, as it were. So they can get it's easier to get games down there in the structure in the facility in Indio, the Coachella Valley. So they can get games there. They're, where they were in Miami, really, there were only three teams there, Miami, them, and Charlotte. Just more teams down there. And it's a way, bonding is an important thing. Edward Leuven was saying, he's never spent this much time with teammates in training camp, ever, in his years playing in Europe. So that's a big thing for this, is to get the guys together and put them in one hotel building. Guys have roommates. So Leuven's with Kyle Hebert, Berkey with Klaus, and just to get guys to get to know each other, and they group activities together. So So that's one of the important things is because the system they use is dependent on so much coordination and interaction. They feel they really need to have the team kind of working as one, and this is one of the ways to do it.
And I would imagine, too, that gives you a little bit of training, too, for what that's like to go from St. Louis. So we got a one-hour time shift, right, down to warm weather. But then you're going to go, you know, a four-hour time shift, you know, a couple times, two, three time zones over to California. And that's what will happen in the season. You're going to have teams that are traveling coast to coast in a very big country with a large footprint. There's got to be some of that kind of affecting the players and getting used to that kind of life on the road or in the air, so to speak.
I was talking to Isak Jensen today, and he's from Denmark, and he was talking, you know, in Denmark, you can drive from the southern part of the country to the top part in like a couple hours. I mean, that's, you know, you don't fly, you know, he played in the Danish league and everything is a bus, and wherever you go, you're an hour from your home. And that's just how it is. And so for a lot of these guys, yeah, this kind of travel, and some of the guys saw it in the City 2 season last year where, yeah, you're making a four-hour flight to get to the West Coast, and they're going to do that a lot. I haven't done the math, but I would think City is probably going to travel more air miles this year than any other team because they are the most eastern team in the Western Conference. So their trips to the West Coast are longer than Kansas City's. You know, Minnesota would give them a little bit of a run there. You know, the East teams play so many games within the conference, they don't have to go very far. So these guys are going to have a lot of travel ahead of them this year. So that's going to be a challenge. Fortunately, the league has, at least for the first half of the year, is still loosened up its standards, its restrictions, and they can fly charters. It used to be you could only fly six legs of charters during the season. And because they didn't want teams like the LA Galaxy with big budgets to have an advantage on attracting players. But then when COVID started, they allowed teams to charter everywhere. So, yeah, that's going to be a thing. But other teams are going to have to make long flights out to St. Louis as well. And Carnell was telling me they hope to make that something that works in their favor for when those teams have to make a long trip out here.
Yeah, I've heard that they've been talking about that in general, trying to make it a really, really difficult place to play, that they think that this can be Lutz talks about that a lot, and obviously Coach Carnell has picked up on that as well, that they want this to be a difficult place, a la how the St. Louis Blues will talk about this, that Enterprise Center is a place that opposing teams don't want to come to, that they think in the heat of St. Louis playing a team that wants to play the way City want to play in June, July, and August is not going to be very attractive. So it'll be interesting to see how much that style does end up making a real game-to-game impact. You know, one more thing before we let you go, Tom. I asked this of Santiago, and I think I'm going to ask it probably of just about everybody, especially people like you who are so plugged into the team. We know about the Berkeys. We know about the Klauses, the Tim Parkers, the Edward Louvins. Is there anybody who's flying a little bit further below the radar at this point who you have your eye on, who you think could be a really important contributor this year?
Isak Jensen is someone that the coaches and staff rave about how he's doing. I mean, he's only 20 years old. You know, I think some of that midfield line, Jensen, Indiana Vasilev, Rasmus Alm are guys who I think can play a pretty big role. And I think Nico Giocchini is a guy that could play, you know, a lot. And now I'm naming too many guys, but Adeniran is another guy who is probably not going to start. He's going to come off the bench, but he could. He's a big guy, and he can really get something done. And that's one thing that they've talked about also is that with the style they're playing, they're not going to have 11 guys that they're going to use all the time. They're going to need to go to their bench because in the summer in St. Louis, they can't have these guys out there playing 75, 90 minutes every night, you know, once or twice a week, depending on the schedule. It's going to be tough. So they are going to be moving guys in and out of the lineup, I expect.
Well, we appreciate you, Tom. Maybe the most plugged in man to the St. Louis soccer scene in our media. And if any of you aren't following Tom Timmerman on Twitter, reading him in the Post-Dispatch, you should be and you'll want to be as we lead up to kickoff in MLS. Thanks so much, Tom.
Thanks, Nate. Thanks, Jen. Bye.
Great to have Tom on with us here on KMOX. We will talk next to John Nelson, City defender, joining us to talk about the upcoming season starting in just a few weeks. You're listening to St. Louis City Soccer Report on KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, back to the St. Louis City Soccer Report on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us on your Thursday night. She's Jen C. Scansner. I'm Nate Gatter, joining you for our second hour of the St. Louis City Soccer Report and joined by our second City player this evening, John Nelson, City defender, selected by City as part of the expansion draft from FC Cincinnati, coming off a really nice season there where they went to the playoffs for the first time after a rocky start to their history moving up to MLS. And John, I guess, are you going to take all the credit for that? You and Pat Noonan engineering the bounce from the wooden spoon of last place finishes in MLS up to the playoffs last year?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. And no, I think it was great timing right when I got to FC Cincinnati. I think they kind of all put it together. But yeah, it was a great year with them last year.
So did you get any inside information? So St. Louis native Pat Noonan, who you played for, did he give a friend some inside information on, hey, here's what you're looking for coming to my home city?
Oh, not too much, but he was just really excited for me. With the expansion draft, it's tough. They can only protect so many players, but he said he was just super excited for me and kind of jealous I was going to St. Louis.
Yeah, it's funny. Obviously, we talked about this with Jared Stroud last hour. When you find out you're moving teams, and you maybe had a little bit more warning than he did, because rather than a trade, you had been left unprotected. But as you said, a lot of players are. Teams can only protect very few players. There are plenty of valuable guys teams would rather keep who they have to leave unprotected. What were the emotions finding out that you were moving teams again after 1 year in Cincinnati and coming to an expansion team in St. Louis?
Mostly exciting. It was super exciting for me and my family. The expansion draft that day, it was pretty crazy, to be honest, just a lot of phone calls going around. But after talking with Bradley and Lutz, I was just super excited. It's a big opportunity for me, so it was super exciting.
That's amazing. I've asked this of Tom Timmerman before, from kind of his thoughts, and I thought I got to ask a player. And you're a veteran, right? You've been around. This is not new to you, but I was curious as to kind of how that feels, and how does it feel for the new players who don't have experience with it, going from St. Louis to Florida, and we go back to for nice warm. I hear it was like 80 degrees. It was really great, and then you come back to St. Louis for a nice, really, really cold, polar opposite, and then jumping over to California. Seems like that's part of the training, right? So you got to train to fly across coast to coast in different time zones, so you can be ready to play games.
Right. Yeah. My first year with Dallas a while back, we were traveling all over and I wasn't used to it, but now this is my fifth year. I'm used to it. You got to get used to travel, especially being in the Western Conference again. Your flights are 3 hours plus, so you got to get used to it for sure.
John, I wanted to ask you as well, and speaking of Tom Timmerman, he had a great article about you just a couple of weeks ago about how much you've gone through in your career already. I mean, we say veteran, and it's true, this is going to be your fifth season, but you're only 24 years old. A lot of guys at that age have not endured a whole lot of physical hardship in their careers, but you had to go through a spinal fusion surgery just to get yourself back on the field and able to play without significant pain last year. Obviously, that was a big risk, and there was a chance that you weren't going to be the same. Maybe you weren't going to be able to play. What inspired you that this was the moment that it had to happen? And then how great was it last year to be able to be on the field for 24 games, set career highs, minutes, assists, all of that, and be able to play more freely than I imagine you'd been able to in a long time?
Yeah, it was in 2021, so my third year. I think kind of what inspired me to get it just kind of got to that point where I was just playing through pain constantly. You know, that's not fair to yourself. You shouldn't be playing through pain. So I said, enough is enough. You know, I got the surgery. They said there was a good chance I wasn't going to be able to come back and play, but you know, I had to take that risk because I didn't want to be in pain, and we were optimistic about it. And you know, I came back within 6 months, and then there was an injury at Cincinnati. The person ahead of me, he got injured. As soon as I got back, I took his place. I had a great year, started a bunch, played a bunch of games. So it was really great timing for me.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, and I don't want to put words in your mouth or anything, and neither of us have played professional soccer. Jen played at a much higher level than I did, so I can't imagine what it was like for you. But I have to imagine for a kid who becomes a professional soccer player, at least part of it is because you grow up loving the sport, living, breathing, drinking soccer. Mm-hmm. That had to have robbed you of your joy a little bit to be playing through that level of pain. What did it bring back for you mentally to be able to just not only take pride, but enjoyment in your day-to-day career, training and playing, now that you were able to do it again without pain?
Of course, yeah. I think the biggest thing when I was going through my injury a few years back, you know, before that I used to love going into training every day. And then during my injury, it wasn't like that. You know, I wasn't enjoying it. I didn't want to be there, you know. And then after the surgery, obviously playing pain-free, you're like, wow, this is awesome again. You're going in, you're smiling, you're enjoying what you do. So that was huge for me.
Absolutely, and I know the St. Louis fans are going to be enjoying seeing you guys. I know, you know, we've been talking a little bit about how quick it's probably going to go by for players and everybody prepping, but I can tell you, my four kids at home, it can't go by fast enough to see you guys play here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to kind of get the thoughts of what you think about, you know, it's not your first, you know, go around. You've been at FC Cincinnati, FC Dallas. So you know what it's like to have great fans and a city that's into it. But we've got a great sports town, right? We've got Cardinals. We call ourselves Cardinal Nation. We bleed blue for the Blues. And, you know, are you really excited to see, you know, what does it feel like to be that inaugural with the fever is there? I want to call it city fever. Do we have a term? I think it's, you know, I think we have that. You have these fans that are already in love and barely know you guys. What does that have to feel like?
It's awesome. It really is a great feeling. You know, as soon as I got picked by City SC in the expansion draft, so many people were telling me that St. Louis could not be more excited for a team. And then over these past few weeks, you see with the tickets selling out in a few minutes, you know, just getting the messages on Instagram, on Twitter from all the fans, you know, that they cannot be more excited. So I think me and you know, I can speak for everyone on the team. You know, we're so ready for the season, and that home opener, we're looking forward to it.
So I know that, you know, we call it City Red, and we want to be true to the branding because we call it City Red. At the same time, have you ever worn a jersey that pink in your life before this year?
I have not. It's a unique color, but it's honestly grown on me. I do like it a lot so far.
Yeah,
it stands out in a crowd. It stands out in a crowd, right?
That's for sure. I think people are excited about it. And the stadium looks amazing. Going by it at night, all lit up with the city red. It's been great. You know, the only other thing I wanted to ask you about, I think all of a sudden after the expansion draft, left back went from an area where City were kind of thin to an area with a lot of depth. And I know Bradley Carnell said he feels like you and Selmir Pedro in combination give City maybe the deepest 1-2 punch at left back in the entire league. What's it been like kind of training with him, two guys who are really high level players in the same position and obviously competing with each other to some degree for playing time, but also sort of helping each other improve also on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, of course. I agree with Bradley. You know, I didn't know much about Selmir before I got here, but just training with him and watching him these past few weeks, I've been super impressed. You know, I think we're similar players. Both very good on the ball, very good 1v1 defending. We can both whip in a nice cross, you know, but that's really means we're just pushing each other. You know, that spot, it's going to be a fight for sure. But at the end of the day, we're just pushing the team then and then helping the team. So, no, it's been great playing with them.
So I love if I can ask you one more question to get, you know, can I get a little inside scoop? I keep hearing some stuff about style of play, right? I'm talking about, you know, attacking and you know, aggressive, and we're going to be, I would love a little bit. So I'm going to have my four kids where I'm going to watch you, and I'm going to talk to my kids about how the style of play, how is St. Louis City going to play? What are we going to see besides a win, right? We want the outcomes, but like style and process, what is that going to look like for us?
Of course, we're going to be a fast team. We're going to play forward. We're going to be a pressing team. We want to make it crazy for teams. So when they come to St. Louis, they're going to be like, oh, wow, we have to play this team. We do not want to be here. We don't want to play their style. It's going to be hectic for sure. But, you know, that's what Bradley wants. And I think over the past few days, or the past few weeks, I mean, we're really coming together. So it's going to be a fast style, a pressing team, all-out press.
Has that made a training camp especially demanding physically to make sure that you guys are ready to do that, even in the July heat in St. Louis?
Yeah, of course. It has. But, you know, that's preseason. But, no, it's been tough, but it's all worth it.
Oh, yeah. It's worth it for us. We don't have to put in the work. We just get to enjoy what you guys do on the field. So it's definitely worth it for us. We're glad it's worth it for you. And John, we're really excited to see you guys out on the field in just a few weeks and follow you all season and going forward.
For sure. I can't be more excited, but thank you for having me.
Well, we appreciate it, John. That's John Nelson, City defender, and you will see him on the field in Austin February the 25th, just 3 weeks from Saturday, and then the home opener March 4th at City Park against Charlotte. Next up, we're going to talk to Peter Wood after the break, the Vice President of Creative and Content at St. Louis City SC. Learn a little bit more about the brand and the man behind it. When we return, you're listening to St. Louis City Soccer on KMOX.
Now, back to the St. Louis City Soccer Report on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Nate Gatter, Gen C Scanser, back with you on KMOX tonight, heading into our final half hour of the St. Louis City Soccer Report, and joined now by Peter Wood, who is Vice President of Creative and Content for St. Louis City SC, meaning he is the man in charge of the brand. And if you've been following City really since the launch, and certainly at any point in the last year or so, you know the brand and how intentional City have been about building it piece by piece, how much content there's been, and how focused that brand has been on a particular identity, how many resources ownership and the club have poured into it as well. And so we're going to get to learn a little bit more about that with Peter. Thanks so much, Peter, for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the introduction there. Looking forward to chat.
Well, I guess I've stolen a little bit of your thunder by talking about how much the club are focused on the creative and content side. But what I want to know, first of all, is for a British guy who was then in New York City, it must have been a bit of a leap of faith to come to the Midwest. I mean, I defend St. Louis up one side and down the other, that we've got it all. But there are a lot of people for whom this is flyover country. If you've spent time in Europe and in New York City, but in your entire life, what sold you? What made you want this job? What sold you that City was the place for you?
I have a bit of history working in St. Louis, so I didn't arrive here cold. My background is in advertising, so I worked on, you know, my first big account in London was the enterprise account.
Oh, okay.
I was very very familiar with St. Louis before I came, and when the ownership group that I'd worked with before said, you know, we're going to set up a soccer team in St. Louis, and they explained a little bit about the history of soccer, and they told me, you know, what the plan was and what they wanted to build. I was hooked. I mean, this is the I'm an Arsenal fan from London. I spent my entire life going to Arsenal. I grew up learning about life through football. You know, going with my dad and, you know, meeting, you know, loads of amazing people, and like, that was really important to me. And the idea that I could come to St. Louis and work with the ownership group and all the amazingly talented people that are at City SC to create, you know, what I see as one, you know, the most idealistic view of a soccer club. I couldn't turn it down. And then, you know, I've arrived here and I've learned so much about the place, like incredible food, beautiful parks, amazing people, and you know, this is a sporting town. This is a sporting town that expects to win, and I feel like I know that I'm working for an ownership group that has exactly the same feeling. So now I'm here. I'm happy that I moved. I don't regret a minute. And I love the city. And, you know, I'm STL made now. So I'm really excited to be here. I'm really happy with how it's going so far.
And we're happy to have you. I'll tell you something else I really am happy that you have is to look at your podcast, The City Voice. And what I was really interested in is I kind of saw a lot of things I expected, right? Talking with coaches, talking with players, and, you know, getting St. Louis introduced to that. And if you haven't listened, I highly recommend you listen. But something on January 14th, 2022, you talked two different episodes about the cognitive game and the mental health side of the game. And I thought that was really interesting. I wasn't expecting to see that. And I was really impressed to see that all the same. And wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, the mental side of the game, as, you know, it's not just about skilling and drilling.
Yeah, I mean, we've run supportive councils with our amazing fans, and we've tried to design the content experience around what they're looking for. And one of the things that we heard loud and clear was they want to go deep on topics they've not heard about. So, you know, the Athletic is a fantastic publication known for its sort of long form content and really taking people on a journey. And fans told us that they wanted to sort of nerd out on soccer. And I'm a soccer writer in my spare time. I do podcasts, and as a fan, like looking at my club, which is you know, my English club, which is Arsenal, I always kind of like wanted to hear about what goes on behind the scenes. And now I work in the game, and I've got, you know, great relationship with Bradley and Lutz. And Lutz was telling me about, you know, this guy who helps coaches understand the cognitive side of the game. I saw it as an opportunity, and, you know, we kind of rolled the dice, spent some time talking about the mental side of the game, and like just understanding how all the coaches at the club think about it. You know, like the mental side is really important, like right from the moment that you step foot into the academy, like all the way through to the first team. So we put it out there, fans responded really well. And from, you know, that was one of the earliest ones, and the feedback that we got was great. And we realized that St. Louis City soccer fans, they don't want, you know, they want some of the sort of 101 stuff, but like there's a real hardcore fan base out here that want to learn about the game. And we think City SC, we think, like, we try and use that podcast to bring people angles and storylines that you don't normally get at other clubs. Like the ownership group has been very, very, very good to us, and you know, they give us a lot of access. The sporting department wants to make sure that St. Louis understands like every element of what they're trying to build. And the hope is that the more that we give the fans and the upfront, the better it will be as the season goes on, because they'll feel part of the story because we brought them along for the journey.
Right. And so I would imagine that's fantastic. And I love that you have the mental side in there. It's so great. I'm so attached to that part of the game. And I would imagine that finally 3 weeks from now, we're not going to be talking about starting. We will be into it, that podcast would hopefully, you know, also be able to reflect the current happenings, right? Not just the outcomes, not just the wins, the losses, but all the other things that, you know, the fans really want to know behind the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like everything up until now has been a promise of what's to come. And when the season gets underway, like we know that the more you bring fans along for the ride, the more forgiving they are. Like, the, you know, in our first season, there were going to be ups and downs. You know, that's just the nature of the beast. And we want to make sure that our fans always feel connected to our coach, our players. And like the mission that we're bringing them along for, you know, the better the support through the season, the quicker we're going to get to our end goals. And communications is just a small part of it. I mean, the job that Bradley Carnell and Lutz are doing, like, we're really excited about where that's going to go. But like, we hope that like the communication and bring the fans along is going to lead to lots of noise in the stadium. Like a deeper understanding of like what goes behind like every decision that happens. And like, really part of the job of the podcast as well is to make sure that everybody knows, like, these are humans out on the pitch. They have the same ups and downs that you have in your life, and like, just, you know, understand it from their perspective. This is going to be a difficult year. It's going to be an exciting year, but just understand that that's a person on the pitch.
We're talking with Peter Wood, Vice President of Creative and Content at St. Louis City, who's been tasked with building the brand and continuing to feed the beast that is the City SC fan base and their demand for more of this great content, because the bar has been set awfully high and now has to continue to be met, but a challenge that the team has been up for to this point. And Peter, before we let you go, I wanted to talk to you about the MLS season pass announced just recently on Apple TV Plus. We knew that was going to be the move this year, that fans for a single season flat fee or for a monthly rate can get access to that MLS season pass, which includes every MLS game, no local blackouts, nothing of that sort. And they could watch every City game and any other game around the league that they want. And from your perspective, it also presents just another avenue for content, because subscribers also get to see a locked and loaded content page that has all sorts of City stuff all the time that's not just limited to games. Isn't that right?
Yeah, we're creating a lot of exclusive content that will go behind, like we'll go on the MLS season pass. We've actually got a very special series called City Rising, which will hopefully launch tomorrow or the weekend. And we've got a very famous German journalist called Rafa Honigstein, and he's going to talk. He's going to bring City fans through, you know, how we built the club, like what our Bigger Than Soccer story is all about. Then he's going to really go to bat to tell the story of the first team. So there'll be an episode dropping every week. There'll be exclusive content going throughout the season. And like, you know, we hope that City fans can subscribe. It's going to be a great experience with Apple. We're really confident that that they're going to deliver in the same way they deliver with everything else.
To your point about showing that the players are people too, right? The human side of the game, the human side of the players. That's something that I think everybody talks about who does content, right? That's one of those things that you hear a lot about, humanizing the players, the coaches, every element of the club, in order to make fans feel closer to them, right? That they're not just jerseys out there running around, they're actual human beings. What do you think is maybe the biggest challenge in getting there, in producing something, some piece of content that goes beyond the surface, that's something unusual that makes people really sit down and think about what they just consumed? And then when you do it, what's the most rewarding part of it for you?
I think the most important, the coaching staff and the players need to trust that you're going to represent their story. And it's, you know, they're used to sitting down for 5 minutes and having to get their talking points across in 5 minutes. And the way that we try and communicate with the players and coaches is like, listen, it's much easier to get your story across over the course of an hour and to truly let your character shine and your ideas rise to the top. So the challenge is it's trust, and then you've got to make sure that you deliver something that they like. And so far it's been great. I mean, like our players want to be on it, our coaches want to be on it, and like the fans have responded really well to it so far. And it's like, when you know, if you get the chance and you get to listen to Bradley Carnell talk about the soccer philosophy that we're going to have next year, like, it's electric. And you know, my kind of personal gauge is, I always hope if I'm enjoying it, because I'm sitting there as a fan, the hope is that the audience is enjoying it. And like, I've enjoyed doing a lot of these podcasts, and we hope to do more. But yeah, it's giving people the chance to express themselves over a period longer than 5 minutes.
I have a really hard question for you now. This is a quick one, and then we're going to let you go, I promise. But we're finishing with the hardest one, because you said you're a fan now, right? And this is your club, your STL made. Let's imagine a hypothetical world, even if it's a friendly, St. Louis City play Arsenal.
Oh, God.
Who are you rooting for?
Oh, I mean,
that's not a fair question.
That's brutal. But listen, I'm in St. Louis. I'm gonna have to be a St. Louis fan for one day. Just don't let any of my Arsenal friends know that I said that.
We won't tell anybody, I promise. Peter, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me on.
That's at PeterWood33 on Twitter. Already has more than 2,400 predominantly City fans following him, and that number should be a lot higher. That's the man who has given City fans all the content they want and more. Peter Wood, Vice President of Creative and Content for St. Louis City SC. Still got 15 more minutes for you here tonight on KMOX. Going to talk a little bit more to Jen when we get back and hear a bit more of that mental side of the game. You're listening to the St. Louis City Soccer Report on KMOX.
Back to the St. Louis City Soccer Report on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
So we got a few minutes left with you before we get to our news at the top of the hour. Nate Ganter and Jen Cease Ganser back with you in our KMOX studios tonight, St. Louis City Soccer Report. Want to thank all of our guests who have joined us. We've had a litany, a half dozen who have come on and have all done a great job, and hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have. Jen, a couple of things I want to talk about with you. But first of all, we only got to mention the U.S. men's team with Bill McDermott, and we talked about everything that's going on there, sort of the, I don't want to say the high of the World Cup because they could have done more, but certainly the positive that was taken away from the World Cup.
For sure.
And then in some ways, the downfall of everything that's happened since off the field. It almost distracts at this point from the point in the calendar we're at internationally, which is it's time for the women to shine
this summer.
And the U.S. women, on the one hand, still the dominant team in the world in the sense that they're the multi-time reigning champions of the World Cup. On the other hand, this is a different generation of American women, and their grip on that top spot seems like it's loosening month by month at this point.
Yeah, and I'm going to get a lot of haters for this, and I totally understand, but this is as it should be. So in order for it's, don't get me wrong, do I love the women or our team going and romping people? Sure, I love that. I love to see what we do, but you know the game, right? The game, kind of like the same, right? So on the men's side, we know that U.S. is young, right? The U.S. is young in the game. On the women's side, the U.S. is a leader in the game. They're the ones with legacy. So that legacy being now seen in other countries is only good for the game. So I know, like, I still, U.S. women, I love you, and I want you to win. But at the same time, the game is not growing if they're romping all the time. It shouldn't be that way. They should have to fight.
No, I completely agree. And this is interesting. It transitions well into the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about, because I think you could argue whether the true passing of the torch is this World Cup, whether it's at the next Olympics, whether it's at the following World Cup. At some point along the line, the Rapinos and the Alex Morgans and the veterans of this team, I mean, Julie Ertz already has pretty much moved on. Becky Sauerbrunn at some point, as much as we love a St. Louis native, is going to have to move on at some point. They're all coming to the twilights of their careers. There's going to be a very young, inexperienced U.S. women's starting 11 at a World Cup, at an Olympics, at a major tournament that still has all the same expectations.
Yes.
That came from having an 11 full of proven world-class players, and they won't have that, but they'll still be dealing with this incredible expectation on them to not just win, but as you said, to romp. So, you are an expert in the mental side of sport. If you were the sports psychologist for the U.S. women's national team and you were talking to those younger players, the Mallory Pughes of the world, maybe somebody who sort of came in and almost flamed out as a young prodigy in the women's national team setup, kind of dropped out of the national team setup for a little while and now has come back with a vengeance. The Sophia Smiths, the Katerina Macarios, this next generation of American women. What would you be telling them to put them in a position to succeed on the World Cup stage?
Well, of course, you know, the skilling, always talk, when we talk about the mental side of the game, what we do so well when I coach soccer myself, you know, I didn't put a lot of thought into the mental side. And I had the training for that in industrial organizational psych. I wasn't a sports psychologist, but I had that psych training. And I, you know, the part was touches, right? Touches on the ball, do the skills, do the drills. And then we do very little to deal with the mental side in the game. Now, at the top levels, right, with the women, they have mental coaches. They have people who travel with them and who work on that side of the game. But I would say, you know, when it comes to this younger generation coming up and trying to hold a very big torch, right, from the ones that are kind of, oh, God, I hate to say aging out, so to speak, but, you know, coming into their twilight years, is that not only the physical, but that mental part of the game, right? How you handle loss, how you use loss, how you deal with the fact that, you know, we know that nobody really develops with easy wins. You always develop in the parts that you hate about the game. You always develop when things go wrong, right? What makes a team, right? Not that you win all the time. What we see makes a team is when they go through loss, when they go through problems. I hope the best for the U.S. men's team, right? With something like that. On the women's side too, you're looking for personal development and that personal challenge, the ability. It's not failure, and that's what we talk about with mental training. It's not failure. Failure is required. It is how you deal and recover from failure and, frankly, use it to get better.
And if any of you are thinking, you know, Jen sounds like she knows a lot about this, well, you could check out her services and all the coaching that she does through Mind to Define, particularly with girls and women's athletes. What do you think is different, particularly about, let's say you're dealing now with middle school, high school kind of athletes, about dealing with girls at the 12 to 17 range rather than boys?
You know, it's so funny. That's a great, so mindset, mental skills, and just like Peter talked about, you know, he's talking about it in the men's side, right? It's important on both sides. What I find, what's interesting, when I coached boys and I coached girls in soccer, that the frustrating part about one is the golden part about the other. So I'll give you a good example that's not mindset. So it's taking boys and girls and putting them into a little bubble here and doing ball skills. And what you'll notice when you do just ball skills is that boys, and again, I'm generalizing so that there's always the exception to the rule. But generalize, boys will go out and just do the move, right? They just do it. And they're like, yeah, this is awesome. I just did this move. And I'm like, none of that was right. That was, okay, slow down. None of that was right. Amazing. Whereas I got literally on the flip side, on the other side, I've got the girls who I'm like, speed that up. You have that. And they tend to, they're looking for perfection. They're looking to get it right. They are really coachable. They're super coachable. Risk-taking can sometimes be something I tend to want to push for. That kind of a thing.
That's interesting. And obviously that's, you know, as you said, it's generalizing. And when you have an individual kid you're working with,
sure,
you're going to be able to tailor things individually. What are the challenges between both? Let's say you have one kid who just, you're having to pull back on the reins and say, hey, you know, I don't want to take the wind out of your sails, but you're really not nailing it. And we need you to be able to improve. And the first thing to convince you, to show you how to improve, is to admit, you know, you got to admit you have a problem
that's
first.
Right.
As opposed to the kid who, whether it's boy or girl, who has a lot of things going for him but needs more confidence. How do you handle both?
That's a good point. It's actually the flip side on the psychological theory, right? Where one is looking at everything they do right, the other one seeing everything they do wrong. So it really is, the easy thing is balance, right? It's balance. And where one type of player needs balance on maybe being a little bit more realistic about their performance, right? Maybe being a little more honest with themselves, maybe not blaming their teammates, maybe owning a little bit more. I work with also players, actually more of the players I work with are the ones on the other side who own more, who say, I lost the game for my team. No, you didn't. It's a team. You know, who think they should take on more than they should, who don't have a healthy relationship with failure. So it's a flip side. You can find both. In my line of work, it tends to be more with the players who are struggling and have a lot on their shoulders and more than they should carry being on a team.
Well, we only have 1 minute somehow left of our couple of hours. What a phenomenal evening this has been of talking city soccer, talking the men's and women's national team, learning a little bit more about the mental side of the game. What are your big takeaways from the guest tonight?
Oh my gosh, I'm just so excited. So I honestly, my favorite thing is probably the softest thing. I loved the talk about how City is developing their team bond. I can't wait to see what comes on the field if that's what they're doing off the field.
Well, we want to say a big thank you to all of our guests tonight, Santiago Beltran, Jared Stroud, Bill McDermott, Tom Timmerman, John Nelson, and Peter Wood, who joined us here for the St. Louis City Soccer Report. Our producer, Matt Pajeski, and my co-host, Jen C. Scanser, saying good night tonight from the KMOX studios. News is coming up next. You've been listening to the St. Louis City Soccer Report on KMOX.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.